I'm going to bare my heart a little bit tonight. I wish somebody here tonight, or I don't know, I'm going to start challenging people. Why don't you do something for God? Why don't you ask God, what's the purpose for my life? What can I do? Now, I'm not trying to take you away from what you're doing in your local church. That's your local church. But it might be somebody here younger. This preacher's going to go off the scene. I'm going to go off the scene if God tarries. But somebody's got to find a purpose for their life and let that drive you. I can say this, and I got so many sermons I like to say it, but there's a bunch of people over in the Middle East who's got a purpose that's wrong. Yes. But they got a purpose. If you'll blow yourself up thinking that you're going to merit heaven, there's a purpose. You and I know differently, and those people like that are not saved. They're going to hell. They ain't going to heaven. That's a trick of the devil. But they got a purpose. You know, sometimes I wonder about Baptists if we really have the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is a great crowd here, but we go to places sometimes, folks, it's scarce. Now, I'm going to preach whether it's two people or 1,000 people. It don't bother me. I'm going to preach what God put on my heart. But let's look at Romans chapter 8. Look with me in verse number 28. Now, if Lee Robertson ever signed your Bible, this is the verse he put down there he would sign underneath of his name. He always quoted it. And we know that all things work together for good to them who are called, who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, I want you to underline the phrase right there. All things. All right. Go down to verse number 32. He that spareth not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Look over in verse number 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. It is our instruction. This is what we live or die by. And Lord, help us to let it implant into our hearts. But maybe somebody here tonight, Lord, they'll step out a little further for you. Lord, we challenge people here tonight about the purpose of God in their life. We love you, Jesus. In your good name we pray. Amen. There's a man that where I went to church, where I was surrendered out. Matter of fact, Mel Walters, which y'all all know in this church. Mel Walters was my pastor when I launched out to go to Tennessee Temple. But I there's a man in that church right there. I will not use his name. If you'd go talk to him today, he's 92 years of age. He would say this to you. He said, Jimmy, when I was a young man at this church, he said, God came to me and God spoke to me and said, I want you to learn to be an airframe and power plant mechanic on planes. I want you to go overseas after you get that degree, fly missionaries all over the field, go to places where they have to fly over mountains. If you go by river, it may take you 3 days. But if you'll fly over the mountain, it only takes you about 3 hours. And he said, Brother Clark, said, God laid that on my heart, but I never did it. I never did it. And I've often wondered in church services as we end, how many times God has laid something on somebody's heart. Who has the abilities? I've met people and over these years of evangelism, I met people who were mechanics or they were carpenters. We had a carpenter help me come to a building. He spent 3 months with us. He and his wife, he gave up his contracting business and he goes across America taking projects and helping those people. He doesn't charge you. Now we helped him. We gave him some money. He needed gas. We helped him in a lot of different ways, but he didn't put a fee on it. He came there and lived for 3 months, he and his good wife. Gave us and what he did and how he really resurrected a whole section of that building and got it ready for the roof. I mean, that's his purpose. That's what he does. That's what he did for God. See, you can take your ability. I don't know what it may be. Me and Miss Lori pray for teachers. Me and Miss Lori pray, and my other staff, for other helpers. A nurse. Somebody can help. Somebody can do this. Somebody can help some other way. I'm just saying tonight, what is your purpose in life? It may be bus ministry. It may be choir. It may be director. But everybody in this building, God saved you not just to sit. Everybody.
Amen.
A young man brought me this tonight.
Amen.
I don't know where he is. I see you, buddy. There's a glare off the top of your head, but I see you. Amen. He came up to me the first thing. He said, "Do you want some water?" Even if I didn't want water, I said, "Yes." Because that's what he can do. Very seldom in a lot of churches, I have to hunt my own water. Very seldom I find people come up and say, "Preacher, you need some water?" Most all the time when we go to church, the girls know this, we beat everybody there first. Sometimes we drive 4 or 5 hours. And very seldom does somebody come up and say, "Preacher, do you need some water?" Purpose. That young man got a purpose.
Yes.
Now he's going to go home tonight and sleep good and get up and eat and go at it again. You know why? Young man, I don't know your name. What's your name?
Marty.
Who?
Marty.
Marty?
He's one of our bus kids.
Marty, I'm proud of you, sir. God bless you. You want to move to the farm? Come on. The only problem is we've got to put a dress on you. That's the only thing. Yeah. We can't put no dress on you, but no. Purpose. What's your purpose? I was standing in front of a couple one time in a church, and we were singing, and I'm not a singer, but I can tell if you can sing. And they were right behind me singing the hymnals and everything. And I'm telling you, brother, they were doing a good job. And I was just dumb enough to turn around and say, "Y'all members of this church?" They said, "Yeah." I said, "Why aren't you in the choir?" I said, "You're in the choir?" They said, "No, we took a break." You shouldn't have said that. Because I said, "How long you been breaking?" Preacher, we hadn't been in there in 8 years. I said, "Y'all quit." Purpose. Purpose. And when you have that purpose in your life, and I'm not talking a Rick Warren purpose out of California. No, we're not going contemporary. We're not going to go change our Bible. We're not going to do that kind of nonsense. We're not going to accommodate people in their lifestyles. We're not going to do that.
Amen.
But the purpose for your life, the purpose for my life, I was fortunate enough to go to Tennessee Temple, fortunate enough to get to be around Dr. Robertson and even preach for him. I don't know how I got to do that, but we'd preach together, preach at soul winning conferences some, and I'm honored that God would even allow me to be around him, much less talk to him and sit with him and eat with him and stuff like that. But Dr. Robertson, I've heard him tell many a story. But I'll never forget the story he told about his little daughter dying. And he was preaching out of state, out of town. He got a call and said, "Your daughter's died, Joy." That's how he got Camp Joy. I don't know if y'all knew that, but both of my boys were baptized by Dr. Robertson. What an honor. What a great honor to be baptized by Moses. That's what he looks like to me, what a Moses would look like. She died, and he preached that night, got in his car, and drove all the way back home that night. And many a time, I pull up, I go about 400 yards from my house, and there's a stop sign. I take a left, I go down about 3 miles, hit number 8, take a right, and hit 85. It's no telling how many times I've driven that. But when I come to that stop sign, I've often looked back at my house and wondered, Miss Laura, I'm sorry to say this, but wondered, I wonder if somebody's going to die. But you know what made me keep going? It's called a purpose. I've missed birthdays. I've missed anniversaries. I've missed ball games. I've missed recitals. Not to impress you. But I came to an altar at Highland Park Baptist Church. We got on my knees. And God said, I want you to be an evangelist. Now, some people want to do that, but they don't want the cost. And when it gets a little tough, a little rough, they're back out. But if you ever find God's purpose for your life, He said all things.
Amen.
We want the world and we want God. We want the world's accommodations, but we want God. We want the money of the world, but we're not willing to sacrifice. Give up. 27 years of age. I already had my career. I already been to college. Working with a Kraft food company at 27 years of age with Mel Walters. God said, I want you to take off and go to school. So at 27 years of age, I went back to college, graduated when I was 30. God called me to evangelism. How did I know when I got around 55 years of age, He says, I want you to have a girl's home? I didn't know that when I first started at 30. I didn't know it at 40. What drives you? There's one more soul out there possibly could get saved.
Right.
One more home you can see mended. One more young girl that you can see smile and say, thank you. I thought my life was over. The purpose. We got people in America, the purpose is to destroy it.
That's right.
And whether you like it or not, we got leaders that like to change everything.
That's right.
That's their purpose. That's their drive. That's what they want. But we don't have that as Christians. We don't have it. Purpose. He says all things. Let me give you a few things about the word purpose. If you want to write down purpose, P-U-R-P-O-S-E, I'm going to give you something for that. If you want to write it down, you can. First of all, you need to pray for the journey. The will of God is a journey. The will of God, you never arrive. The will of God, it carries you down that journey, that road. Sometimes it may be difficult. Sometimes it may even be a stop. But all things that happens to your life is for our good and your good. All things. And what God is trying to do to you and me, God's trying to conform us in His image so we can do the will of God. So you can walk down that will of God. Now, I explained it to Miss Laura. I told her I couldn't. I said, I can't understand. I can't understand her hurt. I can't. I've never been there. Some of you have been there. But see that journey that God carries us through. Explain it. You'll never explain it with your human mind. You'll never understand it with your human ability. However, what drives you, what pushes you, and what helps you to keep going on is I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. And that's what motivates. But it's a journey. And how that journey is down through there. The girls heard me mention about this fellow. I had a friend of mine. His name is R.C. Houser. R.C. Houser is probably one of the greatest, wisest men ever, businessman. His wife left him when he was back in 1960. She left him. She wanted the world. He wanted Christ. He was very rich, but she wanted the world. And he says, she came to him and said, you either take me or take your Jesus. And she walked out. I mean a man that loves God. I'm talking a man who's on fire for God. I'm talking a man who was sold out to God. At that time, before that happened, he wanted to preach. He wanted to pastor. He was willing to give up all his money and everything. But she wanted the world, and he said, I can't do it. She left him. Can you imagine? Trying to do the will of God, raise four children, stay straight, but you got somebody over here that hates you. I understand it. I can't. But I do know this. It's what's made him. He didn't get mad. He didn't get bitter. He didn't get hateful. He didn't try to get even. He didn't run his mouth. He raised four children for the glory of God, stayed in church, been faithful. Wisest man I've ever met in my life. I think Dr. Roberts, Dr. Hiles, those type. But this guy, business-wise, brilliant, but wisdom. It's a journey. It's a journey. Our life's a journey. Don't worry about where God carries you. Follow him. Don't expect it to be roses. Follow him. That purpose. Get a hold of your purpose. Mickey Mantle. He was a New York Yankees. I've always liked the Yankees on the ball team. I mean, when I was a little kid, grew up, we didn't have TV and stuff like that. But as I got over a teenager, I learned about them. But Mickey Mantle was a baseball star. Some of you don't know him. Mickey Mantle was a tremendous player, great hitter. It's no telling what he'd do today with all the equipment, all the stuff they got. But Mickey Mantle, in his latter years of his life, he became a drunk. An alcoholic. And Mickey Mantle was going to die because of his drinking. On the front of Sports Illustrated, I used to get it, don't get it anymore because of the content. But I used to get it was just sports stories, and it wasn't bad. But today, there's issues that I don't care to have. And so I'm not going to be affiliated with at all. But he had on the front page Bobby Richardson, who was the second baseman. That Bobby Richards out of Sumter, South Carolina. Bobby Richards was a born-again, sold-out Christian. And Bobby Richards went to the hospital and led him to Christ before he died. But on the front of the Sports Illustrated, this is what it said. Mickey Mantle's picture, he died. He said this. Now he's dead, but he said it before. He says, play as I played, but don't live like I lived. Purpose. I read this in the paper. I hope the paper's true. Andy Griffin. Andy Griffin, in his latter years of his life, he said when he was a young man, he was called to preach. He said, I've been out of the will of God all my life. In the last few years of his life, he made two gold records of just old hymnals. He said, perhaps in my younger, older life, I could do something for God. But he said, I missed what God wanted me to do. Purpose. Purpose. Please, I beg you tonight, it's a journey. The you and purpose is unconditional loyalty to Christ. Loyalty. You read stories. I like to read stories. I read about sometimes just a book, a biography or something like that, just to get illustrations to talk about it and give people some stuff like that. But Jack Nicklaus was a golfer. Some of you don't even know him, but he was real popular. He's much a little bit older than me. No, we might be. Well, he's probably in the 70s. But a guy went out there, and before they play a tournament, they warm up. They hit balls with their golf swings and stuff like that. And they practiced all the time. And one day a guy went out there to Mr. Nicklaus, and he was standing up there hitting balls. Just one after another, just hit. And a guy walked up to him and said, Mr. Nicklaus, I sure wish I could hit a ball like you do. And Mr. Nicklaus opened up his hand and he said, son, this is what it cost you. His hands were bloody, for he's held that club so long and hit so many balls. You don't want no blood. You want God to work out your convenience. We want God to work it out so We don't have to sweat it. The purpose. You read the people in the Bible and what they went through. I had the Department of Social Service come at me. Now, I've laid in my bed at night and wondering if I'm going to jail. They don't play fair. And they do what they want to, and then later they may find out it's not right, but they don't care. And I'm not picking. There's a lot of good people in it. I've made a lot of good friends in it. People treat me well. Some of them won't. And brother, when I laid my bed, I often wondered what Brother Roloff felt like. We want it smooth. We want it just smooth. But that's not life. Unconditional loyalty. Loyalty. 100%. If we could do that, we could find that purpose and be 100%. You know something else about the word purpose? To prepare for the journey, unconditional loyalty to Christ. The other one is realize you're weak. I'm weak. You're weak and I'm weak. That's why we have to depend upon the Lord. That's why He has to give us strength. We're weak. The other P is put others before yourself. Help somebody else put others before yourself. Life is not going to be fair to you. You just do the will of God, and that's my consolation in my heart, is just doing the will of God. Preacher, the hardest thing that I've faced in my ministry is people lie to you. I've had people who I thought was my friends. They turn on you. This flesh is weak. I don't like somebody saying something about me is not true. It hurts. I want to get even. I want to call them up and say, "Hey, you jack leg," like you do. Hey, but our flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak. Your flesh does not want to sell out. Your flesh does not want to sacrifice. That's our flesh. Because why is weak? Do you know the purpose of God for your life? Do you know exactly what God wants you to do? Well, I'm going to tell you what. Your flesh is going to battle you. It'll battle you. It's a constant battle. It's a constant war goes on there all the time. Yes, I get tired. Yeah. Do you ever get weary, preacher? I sure do. Because you fight in the flesh. But if you got your goal, and you see your goal, and you see your purpose, it makes you crawl out when you don't feel like crawling out. It does. And thank God that you can have that. And thank God that at Highland Park Baptist Church and in my life and my ministry, different things, we settled it. And that's the way we want and how we need to do that. The word purpose, how we need to put others before ourselves. One of the greatest things that could ever happen to a marriage is when that mate makes the other one better than them. And then you have competition trying to make the other one satisfied. And the devil does want to hurt in that way, and how he loves to do that. Let me give you the old word purpose. There's opportunities everywhere. Opportunities are everywhere. How about praying and asking God, "God, what do you want for my life? What do you want to do with me?" I used to sit in the auditorium and a preacher would preach and the finger would come right at me and he says, "God wants you." Man, I could sit right there and he'd find me. I could sit over here and find me. I even sat in the balcony. I never sit in the balcony. I like to sit down front. I do. That's just my life. And that stinking rascal found me up there. And man, at 27 years of age, I finally said, "I surrender. I surrender. I'll listen." And how in the world did I know the journey and the way that God wanted to take a little old country boy and then as a man take him and send him down those roads? I never dreamed it. Never would I ever dreamed it. But opportunities are everywhere. Somebody in here needs to write songs. Somebody in here needs to write poetry. I'd rather listen to you good ladies in a book than Oprah Winfrey.
Amen.
She has nothing to educate you about. Hillary Clinton has absolutely zero to try to educate you women about. Why don't you find some godly mother that knows how to dress, knows how to cook, love her husband, raise some good children, is a grandma to the grandchildren. Why don't you listen to her? But she's an old fogey. Opportunities everywhere. Everywhere. Opportunities are great. I believe God, whatever you'd want to do, I believe God can help you and you can do that. But the purpose. The purpose. John Lennon, who played for the Beatles, who was a popular group in 1965 when they come on the scene. That's the first reason people started growing their hair long. Men. Was the Beatles. 1965, I was a senior, I know. John Lennon, when he died, before he got shot, John Lennon would walk back and forth in his hallway, and this is what he would say. Does anybody care for my soul? John Lennon and his wife at that time was Ono. How would you like to be married to Ono? Ono's my wife. But he would walk back and forth in that hallway, and they would say, does anybody care for my soul? Here's a man, multi-rich, multi-millionaire, and had everything except one thing. Peace in his soul. Purpose. Money, everything he wanted, but he didn't have a purpose through God. Wasted talent, put it in the world, still playing their songs even today. Opportunities. Why don't you just surrender? Why don't you just raise your hand and say, God, I give you my life. Mel Walters, on a Wednesday night, I was sitting in the fourth seat, brother, where are you sitting? On a Wednesday night, I came forward with Mel Walters. I took his hand and I said, preacher, I give God everything about me. He can have me. And how did I know, preacher? Doors started opening up. By the way, they're still opening. Why don't you surrender? Why don't you take your hand off your life? And God said, all things work together for good. All things. You may not understand that, but with God you can. You need to simplify your life. Keep your life simple. I often wonder this, how did God come to people? Jesus is God, okay? How did he come and say, drop your net and follow me? And those men dropped their nets and they followed him. You know how I believe they did that? They could. There's a lot of people would give their life to God if they wasn't in such debt. This world out here gets you so messed up in your life, it's hard to drop your net. You and your wife not going together, down the road together, and God says, drop your net. I said, I can't, my wife. She ain't gonna do it. Go down the road together. Simplify your life. Keep your life simple. Don't get it so complicated that God can't say, I need you. And a lot of people in their life, if you're not careful, they get their life so complicated with the things out here, they can't. He says, I work all things out for your good. And always remember this, the E, eternity. One day I'm going to face him. Not for my sins. My sins were judged on Calvary. But one day what I did with my life, I'm going to face him with what I did. Hey, you don't have to do what I do. You don't have to so uproot everything and move and go to college. You don't have to do that. Find you something in your local church. Find your ministry right here. Put your life into it. Pick up kids on the bus. Get involved in life. Start a pregnancy home. Start something right here in your local church. Get involved with it. Eat up with it. Let it consume you. There's a guy named Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow was a football player of the football leagues. Didn't like him because he was a Christian. Say what you want to, but that's what they didn't like. But you ought to read his regimen of staying in shape. You ought to read some of the people's regimens. You ought to read about their lives and what they go through just to get where they are. And that ought to inspire us as Christians to get in the regimen of prayer and reading and being like God and walking with God. And then God said, this is your purpose. This is what I want you to do, and I'll equip you for it. God wants to do anybody in this building. You young people, you ought to say, God, what is it you want me to do? What is it in my life I want you to do? It may be a home, but I didn't know it back then. I didn't know that until about 55 years of age, 56 years of age. I didn't know that's what God wanted to do. But I tell you what, it started a long time ago. And it started when I sat in a seat just like you, and that preacher's finger would find me. Boy, he'd find me wherever I'd sit. He'd just point over there. And boy, he'd get a hold of my heart. You know, I was so, when I was in high school, I would never give a speech. I hated speech class. I had any oral stuff, I hated that. I didn't like to get in front of people. Now I do it all the time. That's God. But you got to start somewhere. And God brings all kinds of stuff in your life. All things work together for good. And it's working out for what? His purpose. What you're going through tonight, don't gripe about it. Say, God, thank you. Thank you, God. I don't understand it. I don't understand people getting sick. And they can't do anymore. I don't understand that. But that's up to God. But I do know this. God's working everything out in your life if you'll let him. It might be somebody here tonight. Might be some young person. Might be a person like I was 27 years of age. Already had a college degree. Already had my career set. But God said, no, I want you to do something else. And I'm so glad that my wife, and I'll never forget when I went to Tennessee Temple, I went down with two other guys. They were considering college, and I was the third one. And when I stepped on the property at Tennessee Temple, when I got out of my car, stepped on the property, looked around, God said, I want you here. I stayed down about 4 days, but I didn't have to stay down there. He just said, I want you here. And it was like a calm went all over. Hallelujah. Then when I went up there and they had a church service, and Moses got up there and opened his hands like that silver-haired Lee Robertson, I said, I know I'm coming here. You know? I came home, and I said, I wonder what my wife's going to say. I walked in the door, and I said, hon, she said, you don't have to tell me. We're going, aren't we? I hugged her, and I said, yeah, we're going. Uprooted my life. Uprooted everything. Boy, I'm glad I did. For his purpose. Amen. Been quite a journey. A lot of things I could say. But tonight I want to ask you, would you let God work all things in your life for his purpose? Would you take what he's putting you through right now? By the way, I went to a community college, took business, because I was going to be a salesman. Now, I didn't know it, but God did. He already knew the future. How did he know at 55 years of age I was going to start this home and I take care of the money? That was years ago. So God knew back then, he knew the up here from my end, he knew about that, but he knew I needed to take that to get here.
Right.
Just God. And I never fussed about it because I enjoyed it. I did do what I was supposed to. But I didn't know back there. I didn't know what's going to happen up here. God is trying to work out your life. Don't fight him. My son, Todd, I wish you could meet my son. I got some good children. I appreciate them. And my son Todd, he went to college, got his doctor's degree. I'm not bragging. Troy's got his. I'm not bragging. They've earned it, but they're smarter than their dad. And Todd had a job. God switched it. His wife quit her work, making $42,000 a year. She quit her work to be a housewife, be a mama, and which I admire for that. She could make a lot of money. And by now, you know, tell them what she'd be making, but that was back then. But Todd got relieved of one job, and he got a better job. Just recently, put his life into a company, made them $25 million last year. That company made them $25 million last year. And they fired him. Fired him. Walked in there and said, "You're fired. You got an hour to get out of here. Don't take nothing. Get just what you got on your desk. You're gone." Big company. Fired 400 people one time. He called me. He said, "Dad, I got another opportunity to see what God wants." I said, "Good, son." I said, "God's always worked out your life. Don't worry about it. Hey, he's got a big house. Got obligations." I said, "Don't worry about it. Preacher, God gave him a job this time. They gave him $25,000 more. He's off on, don't have to worry about weekend emergencies. Works 5 days a week. They're starting to homeschool their children. All that's happened in what looks like, how am I going to make it?" See, folks, if you would just take your hands off of your life, and can I talk to the girls a minute? Girls, if you'll just take your hand off your life and let God work out all things for his purpose. Wow. And one day when you get down the road and you look back, you say, "I'm a blessed man. Thank you, Lord." Oh, yeah, I've had heartaches. Oh, yeah, we've had some situations. Yeah, it's been tough. Hadn't been a bed of roses, but he works all that out. You ever laid on your belly and just cry? You have no energy. You're just prostrate crying. You hurt so bad. But there's a reason for that. You won't understand it right then. But God is working it out, all things for our good. Whatever you're going through tonight, why don't you come down here and tell him? Why don't you come down here and say, "God, I didn't understand it, but you're working it out for my good, and I'm sorry. And I've been fussing about it. I've been griping about it. I've been worried about it." Man, come down here. Every head bowed. Good sister, would you come to the piano and play something for us? Every head bowed. A purpose. The altar's open tonight. 27 years of age, I started all over again. And then at 30, evangelism. Then I just go on and on how God has directed and moved. You're never too old. Well, I'm retired. Well, you may retire, but don't retire on Jesus. Everybody's interested in running all over the world, miss church, miss all of this. I'm not against you folks, but however, find you something that'll drive you. How many folks tonight would say, "Brother Clark, I know I'm saved. I know Jesus is my Savior." Would you slip up your hand real high? Thank you. Is there somebody here tonight who would say, "Brother Clark, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Would you let me pray for you?" Anyone like that tonight? Anyone? Is there somebody here tonight, no one's looking, to say, "Brother Clark, I do struggle with the will of God. Would you pray for me? Would you let me pray for you?" Thank you. Someone else? Thank you. Thank you. someone else. Hey, you don't have to be 15. You may be 40. You may be 55. It's never too late to get on this team. Now, you're on this team when you get saved. But you become a player when you get in there with him. A lot of people sign up for football, but some of them never make it. Somebody else, you said, Brother Clark, I do struggle with the will of God. Would you pray for me? Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you back there, sir. God bless you, buddy. My heart goes out to young people who's raised their hand. Just remember this about the will of God. Let me just say this to you. God don't want to make the will of God hard. That's not his purpose. You can find it. Just trust him. Anybody else say, Brother Clark, I do struggle about the will of God for my life. Would you let me pray for you? Anyone else? Let's stand, please. I'm going to pray, and this good brother's going to sing. The altar's open if you want to come and pray. If you want the pastor to pray with you, he's down here. Our pastor's wife, Miss Lori, can pray with you. She's a lady. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the church here tonight. Thank you for the pastor and his wife. Thank you for the good people here. Lord, thank you that we could be here tonight. Lord, maybe somebody to settle about the will of God. Just turn it over to God. Lord, I'm tired of struggling, trying to fight it. Lord, here's my life. Just use it. Brother, would you start singing with your heads bowed? The altar's open. Come on.
I will serve thee.
What a song, what a song.
Because I love thee.
What a song.
You have given.
Why don't you help her sing it?
Life to me.
I was nothing.
I was not thee.
I can hold my hand up to there. Listen to that. Listen to what you're singing. Boy, he gave you a purpose to live. Heartaches, broken pieces.
Heartaches,
broken pieces.
Broken pieces.
Ruined lives is where we all were.
Ruined lives are wild.
That's why he came.
Your
love you.
Calvary, your touch is what I long for. You have given life.
Another stanza, please.
I will serve.
Loves you.
You have given life to me. I was not thee.
Just lay yourself on the
altar. You found me.
God, whatever you'll do with my life. Get out, folks, please.
Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you.
Aren't you glad he came to you?
On Calvary.
Aren't you glad he didn't pass you by?
Interesting.
thank y'all. Thank you for letting us be here tonight. Do pray for us. We'll have a prayer card back there if you take it and pray. I ask you to pray that God gives me wisdom. And I'm not being selfish, but I'd like to have a few more years. So could you ask him for that? And I'd like to keep going, keep doing what we're doing, and try to help more people. Pastor, thank you. God bless you. Love you. And preacher, I want to say it publicly. Thank you for your faithfulness.